From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, it's Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man with me, your host, Shannon Young, Mr. 100 with you. Also, Asa Gray, the Five-Star Man down there at the end.
I already don't like this episode.
Yeah, this is...
You're in for a doozy, kids.
If you thought we couldn't wreck that train any harder, you clearly haven't met tonight's special guest.
Choo-choo.
J.R. Davis.
If you have noticed an increased amount of gape jokes so far, it's because I have indeed showed up.
We got the new gay here with us tonight,
and
it's going to be fantastic. Also across from him, Allie Hebert, our co-host and producer from Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Hello, Allie.
Hello.
JR, first time on the show, long-time listener.
Yeah.
And we're glad to have you on here. How do you feel about the show? Do you like it?
I do.
What's your favorite show on the network?
Nerd Up. I am...
Son of a bitch.
Well, JR's last show.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, Jesse decides to start inviting him to Nerd Up.
Oh, God. You know who's shaking
Probably
in their
will.
Boots right now? Dalton.
Dalton.
Dalton's like, wait, what?
Who's
another effeminate kid with a flippy haircut. I'm screwed.
I'm the fourth guy. I'm the fourth man.
This one has a cardigan.
Do you have a cardigan? Oh, my God. Dalton, you're out, buddy.
Oh.
Have fun in bums fuck wherever you're going to teach.
Yeah.
Was that mean?
Yes.
That was a little mean.
Hey, used to it.
It's April 26th. Happy Alien Day, everybody.
What? How many Alien movies did you watch today, Shannon?
None, because I forgot to bring them.
Because he messed up.
So today's Alien Day.
So like Sigourney Weaver Alien or like Little Grey Guy Alien?
No. Sigourney Weaver Alien. And I racked my brain about this. It took me all of 20 minutes to figure out why it's today. It's because they went to LV-426 in the original movie. 426. Yeah. So today's Alien Day. I was going to bring all of the Blu-rays here to Gaming Grounds, the 709 Broadway for all your gaming needs. Asa, you can.
Pre-order.
Yes.
And
special order.
Special order.
But I didn't do any of that. Instead,
also, they have a vending machine.
We do have a vending machine.
You have Surge. You can probably hear it in the background.
Yeah. Come get your Surge. It's double the price everywhere else. Double the price of everywhere else.
And
yeah, we also don't really say where we work on the show. Just that's for your own protection.
Well, I don't say. Yeah,
yeah.
You don't want to say you work at the gas station library.
Yes,
no, the gas library.
I say I work at Gaming Grounds all day because who's going to fire me? Me. Lonnie doesn't even know he owns a store anymore, so it's not a problem.
Whereas people with actual bosses are
much less.
We have to be more careful.
Yeah, much less forgiving.
I like to go on the record saying that I wouldn't really call my bosses bosses.
Well,
I mean, you can dance on that line as much as you want.
It's just, on you, homie.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm dancing hard with my nice shoes.
So instead of watching Alien today, we watched another movie.
We watched another movie about horror and depression. And that
Stickiness.
Was Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
Now, we little backstory here. There is a constant argument that goes through the Podzilla 1985 offices, and I'm doing air quotes when I say offices, because offices are basically wherever we meet at when we talk.
Usually here.
Usually
we're hanging out before
a
show.
There's an argument amongst us of what's a better movie, Spider-Man 3 or The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
And that's not even really what the argument is, I feel like. I feel like the vast majority of the time...
Is which one's worse?
The argument is which is better as a whole, the original trilogy
or the Amazing,
movies.
Sequels, yeah.
Because Dalton and Jesse think that the Amazing movies are better than the original trilogy.
And what I find disturbing about that is I find Jesse to be an intelligent fellow.
He really is.
Dalton, not so much.
He's got heart.
Like, Dalton's... what's Dalton doing?
His best.
But Jesse is of superior intelligence, and he still thinks that the Amazing series is better.
No, okay. Now, I will defend Jesse in this.
Needs to.
Well, because he's... Aww. The other day, we got him to admit that Spider-Man 2, the first one, is the best Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
The reason he says the trilogy overall is worse is because of how much he hated Spider-Man 3.
Right, and...
And so that drug the whole thing down, so that's why he likes Amazing Spider-Man better.
I had Hunter in here today, and he was hanging out for a little bit, and we were talking, and I told him my order of the movies, my ranking.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see if you guys agree with this, because he agreed with it. He and I agreed that this is the only ranking. This has to be the way it is. It goes Spider-Man 2, then Amazing Spider-Man, then Spider-Man 1, then Spider-Man 3, then Amazing Spider-Man 2 is way on the bottom. Now, Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man are interchangeable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where you lost me. I really...
Yeah, I would put Spider-Man 1 above Amazing Spider-Man 1.
It goes back and forth for me. I really liked a lot about The Amazing Spider-Man. There were some things I really didn't like, but I still feel like no one would ever say Spider-Man 2 isn't the pinnacle of the Spider-Man series.
No, yeah. Well, apparently
well,
there are.
Dalton probably
I was gonna say, there, apparently there's a lot of people.
That's my first F word.
Apparently a lot of people say
no, you
that.
Said, you said the F word when you're talking about wherever he's going to teach. So that's your second.
Oh,
F-word.
I did, didn't I? Did.
Yeah.
I'm doing a terrible job
like
at this friendly show.
Yeah.
The second one is so good. It's the best.
It is.
It's, but there are people that'll say, oh no, it's not because, and again, we're bringing him into this a whole lot. He's not here. But Dalton's argument is, it's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Also, you mentioned that before, and someone asked, was Jesse, and is Jesse and Dalton going to be there to defend themselves? No, because we weren't there to defend Spider-Man 2 or 3 on what the 4 episodes of Nerd Up where they've just talked trash. So this is our retaliation. Also, it's going to be real interesting to see how well we work together as a team, because we were just arguing before the show about Batman and Superman a goddamn again. Because those sons of bitches never stop. Also, I'm losing my voice.
You're the one that started it. You started that.
You did. You started.
I didn't. My point is that's no.
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 No. I'm cutting
no.
you off there.
No.
It's
you
no.
started that argument while I was wearing a Batman shirt.
I think that's where the argument started, actually.
Because I asked if either Dalton or Jesse was going to be on, so because I don't see how they could like the Amazing movies better than the trilogy. And like JR brought up a really good point, which is the main reason he's on the show tonight.
Hey, of,
well, that and he was here.
Yeah. Yeah. The
noted.
Whole.
I'm going to be here a lot.
It's not how you. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. No, because Amazing Spider-Man 2 ended with like 4 dangling plot lines.
Yeah.
They
were setting up for that sequel that never happened.
And I'll tell you what, like, I would bet money that Amazing Spider-Man 3 would have been way worse than Spider-Man 3. Because they were doing the exact same thing that killed Spider-Man 3.
They set up, like, 10 different bad
guys. The studio tried to do too many villains. They were going to try to do too many villains. They were going to try to do too many interweaving plot points.
Because, like, there was that sequence right before they brought out the Mecha Rhino suit. It was like they had Doc Ock.
Vulture and
things.
Yeah.
And they had Vulture. Because
they were setting up for
Rhino.
That Sinister Six movie.
They wanted to do a Sinister Six movie, which...
Which that blows my mind in general.
Yeah, I don't understand how they would want to do a spin-off movie focusing on the villains but not have the only good guy that's ever really fought them.
I guess it's kind of like the Suicide Squad, except that there's no redeeming qualities, really, about the Sinister Six.
Well, the difference between, like, well, Suicide Squad is a whole different thing. Like, they don't necessarily need a good guy to fight them because they've already been caught. You know, they're working for Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
As part of this program to get these.
Oprah Winfrey.
These death.
Oh, God,
headcanon. In the dream, like, in, they're trying to, you know, okay, well, these death row inmates have to do something good. So they have their own story to tell, whereas Sinister Six, it's just their sole purpose
is
to kill Spider-Man.
Yeah. Who wasn't going to be in the movie?
The way that they always kept talking about it made it sound like they weren't doing a Spider-Man versus the Sinister Six. They always just called it the Sinister Six.
Yeah,
movie.
It was just the Sinister. What is the movie just going to be them, Robin Banks?
And same thing with the Venom spinoff that they want to do, that they still want to do.
Well, Venom, you can make it work because he was the Lethal Protector at one point. He was a half good guy. He's an anti-hero.
Yeah.
But the Sinister Six. That's a band.
The whole movie Sinister Six, it just starts with that song Renegade
and ends
with Renegade.
Yeah. I saw them live in Cape, you know.
Yeah, I met him.
So you did you? Yeah, was it at the Show Me Center?
My dad worked security for him.
Oh, well there you go. Ooh, name dropper.
Cop dad.
Pew!
My dad was also a cop.
Nice.
Yeah. We talked about this before.
You did.
Anyway, we're talking about a movie that didn't exist. Let's trash a movie that does exist.
So, yes. Can I first say how Dalton's argument is it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Can he use that argument for his life? Because it's just going...
Wow!
My God!
All right, well, thank you for joining us tonight. That's going to do it.
Didn't know there was a Justice League villain in the house.
2 weeks in a row, Allie just crushes
shade.
It with the end.
Jeez, that was brutal.
I feel like he just got a chill.
Don't high-five him. No. That's,
Dalton just got a chill go up his spine.
Should we edit that?
No.
Because that's pretty rough.
She talks. I've never heard her talk on the podcast before, because I do listen to Mr. 500 and Five Star Man every time.
Clearly, you listen to Mr. 500.
Damn it.
That one broke Shannon. He doesn't know how to feel about that.
Oh.
I just wish there were 5 of you, is all.
Well, sometimes I feel like I am after I eat. Anyway. So yeah. So. So Dalton's Dalton's argument. I can't even think now. Dalton's argument is that's not how you finish.
Because and
no, it's not how you start. I have a drink.
Well, I have a drink.
And no one here is arguing that Spider-Man 3 was a good movie.
No.
Shannon tried to raise his hand there. But I don't believe you.
Was it a good movie? No.
Spider-Man 3 was a less bad movie.
I enjoyed it. Like, that's the thing is Hunter and I talked about this. I left it thinking, well, that was fun. Whereas opposed when I stopped watching Spider-Man 2, Amazing Spider-Man 2, I was like, thank God that's over. Because that was just, I didn't like it. I did not like it.
See, I liked it better than the first one. I really didn't like the first one.
Really?
Yeah. Andrew Garfield is a fun Spider-Man.
Great Spider-Man.
Like, because he actually does, like, the quips and the joke.
But an awful
Peter
Parker.
And that's something that Jesse brought up. But yeah. But it does, they do the trope that I hate in all movies where put Channing Tatum in glasses and a shirt that's like half a size too big for him, and he's a nerd.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's not going to have any friends. He could never get a girl.
Like Rachel Lee Cook. And then he puts. That was the start of that trope, I think. What was that movie called?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where basically she was. It was Rachel Lee Cook.
Oh, 10 Things I Hate About You?
No.
Okay, just keep.
She literally had her hair up and glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And the bet was that they could turn her into the prom queen. Literally, all they did
was
take her
glasses.
No, that was Julia Stiles. Oh. And it was about Heath Ledger. Don't look at me like I'm some teeny bopper.
No, I believe you. I just like.
You're just getting so
cause remember,
angry.
Because that was a thing in Not Another Teen Movie, was her paint splattered overalls.
Yeah, well, they got it from this movie. And I can't. I'm going to look it up real quick because it's going to drive me crazy.
But yeah, but so. And like now, Felicity Smoke and Arrow. But her hair's in a ponytail and she's wearing glasses, so clearly she's the frumpy underdog. It's like, no, this girl is drop dead gorgeous.
She's all that.
That's, yeah.
It's where gorgeous Rachel Lee Cook, they mm-hmm. put glasses on her and put her hair up. The moment she took them down, she was,
like,
everybody
like,
was like,
goddess.
Oh my God. Yeah. I thought She's All That was the Rob Schneider. No, that's She's the Man. Never mind.
That's just a trope.
Rob
that's,
Schneider.
In general, that's a trope that I hate. And so, and they kind of do it with this one. That's why I'm glad in Spider-Man 2, they moved them out of high school.
Yeah. So he wasn't the awkward high school teen anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was still like the awkward guy and.
He was sort of awkward. He was awkward
but
in
he
that
didn't really
he's
have
so
any...
gorgeous sense.
I never thought of Andrew Garfield's Peter Parker as an awkward character. Like, he's not, that's what I loved about Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker, is that he was just a fucking dork.
Yeah.
Like.
He was truer to the comic.
I wish the quips would have carried over into his Spider-Man, because that was in my head, Spider-Man, Peter Parker is uncomfortable socially. He's a, mm-hmm. he's a dork. He doesn't really get it. He's not too cool. Like, he might be quick in his head, but he doesn't say it out loud because he's like, oh man, what if this makes people not like me? I already am so far low on the totem pole. Like, I don't want to be on anybody's bad side. And then he puts on that mask, that anonymity of Spider-Man, and lets him be.
Oh my God.
The potential of what he could be, which is what makes him such a prick.
I get it now. Cause I was going to say exactly what you said. I was going to say Peter Parker is normal person,
mm-hmm.
but whenever he can hide his face, he gets that sense of empowerment that lets him joke.
He's the internet.
Peter Parker is the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Peter Parker is the internet. When you see him as who he is, he's shy and he's scared of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when he can hide his face, he is suddenly a loudmouth little bitch.
IRL,
bro.
He's jacked.
There's a story where I think it's Kingpin, like, calls him out and he's like, I'm finally going to shut you up. Like, or he's telling someone, but basically he admits that the reason he keeps, like, throwing out these, like, the one-liners and is just being a loudmouth is because he's terrified.
Yeah.
And that's just his coping mechanism, is he's like, yeah, I'm staring down someone who could level a building while jogging. Like, how am I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So,
Batman doesn't make any clips when he fights
Superman.
Because
Batman doesn't need to.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I mean, if you want to start this, we'll start this.
I'm sure we got plenty of time. We can get into, what do I want, another one versus three fight?
Right
no.
now, let me tell you. Let me tell you a quick Batman
meme.
Oh,
God.
You remember a lovely little show called Batman Beyond?
I'm familiar with
it. Yeah, all right. So at one point in time, old Bruce Wayne and Terry McGinnis, Batman Beyond, are arguing about Terry McGinnis as evidently spending way too much time thinking with his pecker. And
as most teenage boys are wont to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
Bruce Wayne's like, you have to get your head straight. Like, when I was your age, women were throwing themselves at me left and right. And Terry McGinnis is like, well, what did you do? And Batman goes, I stepped right over him. And that's the coolest thing
you can say. They were throwing themselves at my feet.
Yeah.
I don't know what that had to do with anything.
I don't
but
either.
Good story.
Talking about Batman doesn't make quips.
So,
Batman makes quips.
Spider-Man.
No, Bruce Wayne makes quips.
True.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
All right.
Why do I shop with? That's the real question.
Shannon left Amazing Spider-Man 2 just wondering, why you do this, Spider-Man?
How did he even shot web? He broke his machine.
He magnetized his shot web.
All right, so back, full circle back to Dalton's argument about finishing, because he hasn't done that lately, if you know what I mean.
No, yeah. I don't.
Sex.
Ejaculation.
Yeah.
Because if you don't act like you understand, they're going to explain it, Asa.
I was kind of hoping they would.
You can't
I don't know.
You can't say that the end ruins the entire series. Because if that were true, then X1 and X2 would be awful movies, because X3 was terrible.
Right.
But X1 and X2 are great movies.
Mm-hmm.
And there are. They're good films.
Same with saying, like, oh, The Dark Knight was a terrible movie
because
Dark Knight Rises wasn't
yeah.
as good.
Or RoboCop 1 and 2 being bad because of RoboCop 3.
Or Ninja Turtles 1 and 2 being bad because of that weird third one where they go to feudal Japan.
I'm still a little sad
about
that.
Ace is a little
that.
Salty on that one. Yeah.
I'm not salty. I'm just sad because I remember loving it so much when I was a kid.
Did it ruin the series for you?
No, not at all, because I loved it.
Exactly.
It was my favorite one. And then we watched it again here, and I was like,
oh,
I don't remember that. Oh, I don't
remember
that.
And you weren't even really watching.
No, I wasn't.
I was the one watching.
Allie was paying full attention. We were playing Diablo, and I could just hear the little kid, Raphael. I'm like, did he always sound like that? They brought back Casey Jones, and they literally turned him into a babysitter?
Well, yeah.
Oh,
wow. Secret of the Ooze is the best.
I don't remember this.
The first one was the best.
Nope, second one was the best.
First one was the best.
Another?
Second one was the best.
Oh my goodness.
Two
Spider-Man.
Words. Two words.
You're going to say Toka and Rezar.
Nope.
He's going to say Super Shredder.
Nope.
If you say Vanilla Ice, I'm going to fucking walk out. Son of a bitch.
Well,
that's the second time we close the show tonight.
Welcome to JR's first and last appearance on the Podzilla Network.
No, that was pretty cool that Vanilla Ice wrote a song about the Ninja Turtles on
and
the spot.
And it was more popular than any other song he'd ever written. On the spot.
On the spot. And choreographed it with his backup dancers on the spot.
Yeah, that's badass. People forget that, like, that's a, you know, fucking, go
that's
ninja,
a, that's
go
a
ninja
thing.
Go, man.
That is a thing.
I mean, Peter Parker choreographed a dance on the spot in the third movie.
Okay, before we get to why we...
That's one of the reasons the third movie is better than Amazing Spider-Man 2. That little emo walk around, finger guns dance. That was great.
Before I get to why I hate Spider-Man 2, I'm going to say why I like Spider-Man 3. Or Amazing Spider-Man 2. Why I like Spider-Man 3. I thought it was a good movie. The emo thing was fun for me. I thought, I didn't get as pissy about it as everybody else did.
Oh, God, no.
I thought it was funny.
If the internet
legitimately
could see my hair, they would understand.
Yes,
why
you have the look going right now. When he slaps Mary Jane, that's not funny.
I was going to say,
yes, you are laughing.
That part's funny.
Oh,
well, no,
goodness.
It's, I
James Franco, that horrible human being who Lindsay used to date, apparently. Long story. No. It's a long story. But he was good as
Harry.
Yeah, as the
Goblin.
When he had amnesia, mm-hmm. and he forgot, and then he remembered, and then he played Spider-Man and for revenge, and then Spider-Man eventually literally said, "I'm tired of fucking with you," and just blew half his face off.
With a gun?
No, with the pumpkin bomb.
Oh,
remember he knocked
right.
it back at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Spider-Man was being possessed by the black symbiote suit.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought that was good. That was so much better than Amazing Spider-Man 2. Where Jamie Foxx was still upset that the Jamie Foxx show got canceled.
he was carrying his blueprints for his new show.
Yeah.
He was accidentally still playing the part of Motherfucker Jones from that other movie.
And I will admit, like, because the times that we've talked about this before, I haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man 2 until tonight.
Yeah.
I got off work. I went and I rented Amazing Spider-Man 2. I planned on renting Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3. So I could compare them.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember. I remember being disappointed in 3. I remember. But I had completely blocked out some stuff. Like when Jesse brought up the whole retconning the killer of Uncle Ben.
When people talk about Spider-Man 3, that is the only argument that I think is valid. Because the emo thing didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I thought it was funny. I thought the plot between him and Harry was good. It made sense.
Yeah.
Him and Mary Jane made sense. He was hurt because she rejected him because she, you know, all of these things. But the retconning, that is unforgivable. Yeah, that is one of terrible. The worst things in the history of movies.
And Jesse hated that characterization of Flint Marko. I think he hated the entire character, from what I could tell.
I just want to point out, I never cared about Sandman
They had Michael Hayden Church.
Thomas Hayden Church. Yeah. The guy from Wings.
Yeah. He was Wings. Great.
Like, remember Wings?
I always thought Sandman was a cool character. And so like, oh, he's going to be a villain in the third one. It's like, awesome. That's cool. That's a perfect casting as Flint Marko.
The other Sandman is cool.
And then they had to like do...
Enter Sandman.
And then they tried to do the weird... Sandman. Yeah, that retcon, which was garbage.
That was terrible.
Because the whole like, he has to turn to a life of crime to support his daughter, who's sick, and like pay for her bills, whatever. Like, yeah, it's a trope. But it's still like, it worked. That's all the characterization you needed. You didn't need to make it personal.
It's like,
they didn't
need
the connection.
It was like with the Shane McMahon Undertaker build.
Uh-oh.
Like, there was no need to make that personal. The stakes were already there.
Right.
You're just now artificially, like, trying to really get people invested, and it didn't work.
No. No.
You know what time that trope did work? Joey Wheeler.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who Joey Wheeler
from
is.
From Yu-Gi-Oh?
Oh, yeah. Now it's coming back to me.
Yeah. Remember he had to enter the Duelist Kingdom tournament to save his sister's sight?
Go to Nerd Up. Go to Nerd Up.
Now you're being kicked there.
Yeah.
See you Sunday, guys.
It was, I don't know. I forgot. Oh, and then but as good as Thomas Hayden Church was as Flint Marko, Topher Grace was a terrible Eddie Brock.
Well.
I liked it.
I'm going to defend him a little bit because they weren't going for the classic Eddie Brock, clearly.
No, yeah.
Clearly, because classic Eddie Brock looks more like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
He's this giant, jack dude.
No,
I know.
Now I want to see Brock Lesnar as Eddie Brock from the symbiote.
Back when we saw that movie, I remember telling my friends, like, man, wouldn't Brock Lesnar have been an awesome Eddie Brock? His name's even Brock. Eddie Brock Lesnar. Ace almost spit out
a little bit.
Drink there. But I thought Topher Grace did an okay. Like, the parts with Venom, I thought were really cool. My problem with it was you hardly ever got to see Venom with the face. Mm-hmm. You always saw him with the half face, and it was Topher Grace.
Yeah.
It was Topher Grace face. But whenever they actually had the Venom face, and he was making the weird noises and the tongue was out, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't the best Venom ever, but it also wasn't Bane from Batman and Robin.
Oh, God, yeah. That was so bad.
You know?
I
liked it. I liked the Topher Grace Venom. Because it seemed a lot more real world. Like, they made that character. Give me a minute.
Ace is laughing already.
Anytime anyone mentions, like, oh, it made it realistic in a scenario where nothing is realistic,
I don't
understand that argument.
You're totally right. I say real world in the sense of, like, it's considerably less improbable.
I get what he's saying.
And also, the way they wrote that variant of Venom was to be a polar opposite of Peter Parker. So it's like, you know, they're about the same age, they're about the same build, and they look really similar, just dorky, you know, wouldn't look at this
then
person
that's not
in the
really,
street twice.
That's not really polar opposite,
but,
though.
But, personality-wise, Parker is a nerd, whereas Eddie Brock was a little bit of like a show-off guy. And
he was arrogant,
And it got even worse when he got the symbiote suit, which is why they showed his face a lot.
And that's why I think his size has such kind of a draw to it, because... Because when we do get to see the symbiote Spider-Man, which looked really cool.
Black
suit Spider-Man always is awesome. And so, but whenever the symbiote attaches itself to Eddie Brock, it's a much bigger guy. The movements are different. So the Venom becomes the Venom that we know of the giant, just like monster Venom. And so it makes a lot more sense to have it already be a bigger guy. Because you're right, like Eddie Brock is, as a character, the polar opposite of Spider-Man. So I don't like that they took part of that and then were like, okay, so we're going to take the personality stuff, but we're going to completely change the way he looks.
I think that was to hammer in the personality thing, in my opinion.
I feel like that they also gave a valid reason for Venom, Eddie Brock, to dislike Spider-Man and to embrace the symbiote. Because when Spider-Man was turning evil, mm-hmm. you know, because the symbiote was possessing him and making him darker, remember there was a part where Eddie Brock got caught up in all this. And he begged Peter Parker, please don't tell them, you know, I'll lose everything if you tell them. And Peter Parker was like, whatever, I don't care, which was uncharacteristic of Peter Parker because of the symbiote.
Right.
So now Eddie Brock's lost everything. Of course, he's going to embrace the symbiote and try to use it to destroy Peter Parker.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a much better plot than I'm Jamie Foxx. I saw you on the street, now you don't remember me, and now I'm a blue guy. Brr.
Well, and to be fair, like...
As Asa said, Electro.
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 You guys, Electro. That's really good.
And Baby Goblin.
Because he falls into a vat of electric eels.
Yeah, no, we got it.
And then are they radioactive? Electro.
Are they radioactive eels?
Probably.
That's why stupid. Why didn't it turn him into an eel?
That's also something that I wondered. The
eel man. Lizard turned into a lizard.
And I will say, like, Electro, from the trailers, because again, I only just saw this movie today, so I had a bunch of assumptions going in that were corrected, and then some newfound, like, oh, this was stupid.
Wasting Chris Cooper.
Wasting Chris.
Stupid.
Wasting Chris Cooper. Just really cheesy, over-the-top, predictable dialogue.
Oh, God.
Like, the...
Your uncle would be
your
proud
uncle
of
would
you.
Been proud of you. Oh, I just can't help but think what Uncle Ben would say, like... See? I told you.
Remember or your
like
dead when he uncle? Hey.
When he slams the door and I'm like, oh, he's going to tear down all of his serial killer research.
Ah.
And he tears it all down. But like Electro was more complex than I gave him credit for from the trailers because he was a legitimate like schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Like he clearly already had these like mental issues.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it kind of like the accident compounded onto that. I did really like how the voices in his head turned into a full-on metal band.
They did. You could hear the music like, start could, going, and they started
and
rhyming.
And he's singing with yeah. it.
Guys, what what if Amazing Spider-Man 2 is just this really obscure prequel to The Cellist?
I don't know what that is.
It's a movie where Jamie Foxx plays this homeless,
oh,
crazy
yeah.
cello
oh, yeah,
player.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Brian Posehn had a stand-up special called The Fartist.
That was not related. That was based on the movie The Artist.
Now I'm thinking about ABCs of Death.
Oh, no.
No, don't ever, ever think of
yeah,
that.
That sentence should not be said.
You're the one that keeps wanting to watch it again.
Also, I'm not too... I haven't read a lot of Spider-Man comics. Mm-hmm. But in comparison between, like, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man series and the other
stupid.
One... I can't remember who does it.
Stupid.
Stupor?
Stupid.
Oh, stupid. The stupid one, yes.
John B. Stupid.
Okay.
Directed it.
He sure does. a big difference I noticed is like in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, Norman Osborn just like stuff happens and he hates Spider-Man because of reasons that I can't honestly remember. And he just builds this Green Goblin suit out of craziness and anger. Whereas like amazing Norman Osborn builds a suit of armor to fight because he has goblinitis.
Well, he died.
Yeah.
So he didn't fight anything.
But he built it.
He built it for some reason.
Because
of
the goblinitis.
So let me see if I can remember the first Spider-Man correctly. It wasn't because he was trying to kill Spider-Man. He built the suit because he got pushed out of his own company and he went crazy.
Yeah.
And then he killed the board of directors and Spider-Man tried to stop him.
Right.
And then he started a personal vendetta against him.
Yeah.
So Goblin does that. Goblin chases after Spider-Man. Spider-Man kills Goblin, or actually Goblin kills himself.
Yeah,
at the
I was
end.
Gonna say Goblin kills himself.
Second movie,
Spidey sense kills Goblin.
Harry is going insane and becomes Goblin, and pursues a vengeance against Peter Parker, of using Doc Ock as kind of a pawn. Doc Ock is the tragic hero, redeems himself in the end. Harry loses his memory, and then in the third one regains it, goes back for revenge, and in the end finds redemption by forgiving him. Dies, tragic hero. Everything comes full circle. Beats the shit out of anything in Amazing Spider-Man 2's continued plot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The only continued plot Amazing Spider-Man 2 had was that Peter Parker felt bad about getting Gwen Stacy's dad killed. And he must not have felt too bad about it because he still fucked her. Over and over again, despite him asking her not to.
Also,
with his spider dick.
With his huge spider cock.
Also,
huge?
The...
Why
the,
are you here, JR? You're a bad influence.
The, woo! The... Also, the other story, too, of his parents being, like,
fun.
Secret agents, scientists... Which Jesse kind of pointed out to me because there's a video that Peter Parker sees of his dad saying, I'm being framed by Norman Osborn. He's coming after my research, because the goal is, I guess, to cure his goblinitis.
His goblinitis.
Goblinitis. It's his only regret.
He had Hepagoblin C.
Yeah.
My only
and so he's like, so they, but
goblinitis.
And I guess, like Jesse kind of pointed out, he says, what they don't know is that I'm the key. They need my blood. They need my bloodline to use it. So I have to go away. So I'm going to go away. Me and my wife, we're going to just vanish away. I have a son, though. And instead of like putting him in like protective custody or bringing him with us or doing anything to keep him safe, I have a sister.
Wait.
Also bloodline.
Hold on. So what they did was they took the son of the
person whose blood is...
took the son of the most important person.
Yeah.
And they hid him away in the same city he was born with his aunt, who has the same last name. So it's Star Wars.
God.
With Vader and Luke, where they delivered Luke to his family to hide him.
Yeah. So they just, you know, kind of keep him.
Losing my voice.
It's like no one would. And Jesse did point out that no one really knew that the blood was the key, except for Harry Osborn.
Who put it together like that?
Who figured it out in 30 seconds.
Well, he's smart. Those genes.
So he knew that, like, genes. Well, and like, he didn't know it was Peter, but he knew it, like, the Spider-Man blood.
Flaky skin.
So it's like, if they would have thought about it, they would have found that real quick.
Sorry.
I forgot
that entire plot. Actually.
And as bad as Amazing Spider-Man 2 was, the worst part to me was the scene where Electro first gets his powers, and then they stop him the first time, so he's captured. So then they go to the lab where he's being held, and just, it's the extreme close-up of just the real bad CGI.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's intentional to make him look, like, distorted, but, like, his mouth seemed really off, and, like, his head just looks weird. And then the super bad German accent. Like, oh, maybe it's like a thing like Seamus, where people hear him talk and like, there's no way this guy's
German,
Irish.
There's
no way this guy's Irish.
Yeah.
Or maybe this guy is just the Ubermensch. Like, yeah. He's super German.
Ubermensch.
More so than Udo Kier.
Except he sounds so bad.
It's like a whack, just a terrible, like, the German accent was so bad, it reminded me of like some Kids Next Door character from that Inner Tube episode, but
or like, and then at the same time, like, as much as I love Paul Giamatti, that accent was
his whole Rhino character in general was just awful.
Yeah, like, it could have been really cool, and it was one of those things where it's like, okay, I've only seen the trailer, so I've seen that brief little where they're charging at each other in the suit. That actually looked kind of neat when it's on all fours, like, yeah. Charging when yeah. It's standing. And he's, like, gesturing with the arms, and it's got that giant head and then, like, skipped leg day. It looks
like
so...
Jack from Tekken.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, it's so bad. It looks so bad.
Also, all right, spoiler alert for anyone that hasn't seen it. You should have seen it by now.
We've spoiled a lot of it already, so I mean.
The only good thing to come out of Amazing Spider-Man 2 was that Gwen Stacy died.
Oh, let me tell you
how
much I
disagree
love that
with
scene.
That.
Well, what I mean by that is the most impactful. That is the.
I also disagree with that.
You don't think that's the biggest moment?
I think it is hilarious.
I think
the way they did it.
I think Captain Stacy.
No, I just mean of the second movie.
Oh, Captain the second Stacey. Movie. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Taking the second movie as a standalone.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
That should have been the end. Him leaving and facing his grief should have been the end of the movie. You should have rolled credits. They didn't at the end of Empire Strikes Back when Han got taken away. They didn't have a montage at the end showing them going and getting of them getting their spirit back. You leave it on a downer. That sets up the next one.
Yeah.
But in this one, instead, he finds himself again and goes out and fights Rhino.
Yeah.
Which was a complete waste of time.
Yeah. It,
pointless.
It really...
You said he fights Rhino. He almost... He is about to fight Rhino in the movie.
He throws something at him.
He hits him with a manhole cover.
I saw
this on the WB.
Imagine how bad Empire would have been if at the very end they fly off and they're like, well... What do we do now? And then there's a 5-minute cut montage of them.
It's
terrible.
Honestly, like, and that was like, and that's a really big moment in just the Spider-Man characters history.
Yeah, that's a huge.
It would have, I would have liked for that to be, like, I thought it felt rushed. Like, I was disappointed that she died in the second movie. Like, if you're going to kill Captain Stacy in the first movie, I don't think she should die until the third one.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's something that should really be.
That
should have
been the end of, that should have been the end of the trilogy.
Yeah.
And then maybe at the end he meets Mary Jane.
Right. And so, but like, and to me, I think in the second movie, something that was more impactful to me anyway was him sitting and finally talking to Aunt May about his parents. Because, like, clearly she knows something and he calls her out for not telling him everything. And she's like, no, you're my boy and I'm not going to hurt you.
That was a good
part.
That
scene was really good.
Well, that's because Sally Field is a great actress.
She really is. But I will say, as an Aunt May, I can't remember her name. And
Rosemary
Harris. Yeah. The best Aunt May.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
But will she be better than Marissa Tomei?
Yeah, man.
Why do they keep going younger? And why in the flashback of seeing his parents be secret agents and fight the guy on the plane, do they look older than Aunt May now? So many parts of that movie just were.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, I think I liked it better than 3. But it's been so long since I've seen 3 that.
I think you should watch 3 again because I still think 3 is a superior film. In every way, other than maybe some of the CG, because obviously we've come a long way.
Right.
The fight with Electro, even though I hated it, because I remember just going, this is terrible, looked good.
The itsy bitsy spider playing as he's jumping between the things.
Oh, speaking of which, how about the fucking cell phone?
Oh my God.
Every time it rings and it's the Spider-Man thing.
You hated that.
I hated
so much. I didn't, like, I thought it was kind of dumb. The first time, I was like, okay. It's a neat little nod.
Good job, Marvel.
I get it. But then the second time, you just have to be like, oh, do you think maybe they missed it? Like, let's just throw it in there
They
again.
Did it like four times.
They didn't get it, did they?
No.
It reminds me of Ninja Turtles. When Michelangelo's cell phone rings and it plays the... I hated it then. The only time that's ever worked and I didn't hate it was on The Simpsons. When Bart walks in whistling The Simpsons theme song. Mm-hmm. And Marge is like, I told you to stop whistling that annoying tune. That's funny because it's The Simpsons. This is Spider-Man we're talking about.
I'll say, a time it worked, in my opinion, when it worked very well was Spider-Man 2. The original Spider-Man 2, I think, is when it happened. Like Peter Parker's in like a subway station, and there's a dude busking on a ukulele, just singing Spider-Man. Like it was his song. That was awesome.
Yeah, well, because it seems like it was a folksy artist singing a song about Spider-Man.
Right.
It wasn't a goddamn ringtone.
It wasn't like Spider-Man went to the studio and recorded it.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it's not like.
Which and I don't.
Peter Parker watched the '60s Spider-Man series, and I'm like, you know what? This is a good idea.
That's not a cute moment that made me go, "Aw, what a nod." I'm gonna nod my head into their face.
The first time they did it,
Not gonna make it through the next 30 minutes. That's kind of how I can feel it going.
That's all right, man. Just go full Batman.
The first,
it's too scratchy.
Wuss.
The first time they did it, I thought it was like, oh yeah, that's kind of a nod. Like, okay, that's, you don't need to do it, but all right, it's fine. I don't remember if they did it in the first one or not.
They did not.
They didn't.
Thank God.
Which, and we're ragging on two, and to a lesser extent the first one, but like even the not just three was bad. Like the first one, the first original Spider-Man had one of the most, if you go back and watch it in 2016, one of the most cringeworthy scenes, which is because they had to change a lot of stuff after 9/11 happened, because this was right on the heels of that.
Yeah.
But so whenever Goblin gets distracted by the crowd because we're all New Yorkers. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Flat rock flag eagle.
Rock flag and eagle.
To me, that's just really.
Well, there was a moment similar in this that I pointed out to you when we watched it.
The first one.
But in Amazing Spider-Man 2, when they're facing off against Electro and he's destroying everything and the crowd starts chanting at him, yeah, get out of here, you freak. They're daring this guy that shoots electricity from his fingers like the guy from fucking Big Trouble in Little China. And they're threatening him.
And it's one of those things too where it's like, oh, there's this guy who, like,
New York charm.
We notice the billboards flickering, but we don't notice the guy in the suit. Or in the hood.
The avatar
reaching into the ground. And like, granted, at this point, he's like covered in like, so you don't really get to see him, but he's reaching into the grate.
Not his hand.
And sparks are shooting up everywhere.
He's clearly taking that electricity.
And then they kind of like they stand back so they can keep watching.
Hey, what's wrong with a TV?
What person would ever just stand there and watch this?
Turtles.
Like, he just shot electricity at Spider-Man and sent him so far over.
They didn't start running until the very end when he gathered all the electricity.
Which, and I will say, that was actually a really cool scene where Spider-Man had the one working web shooter and shot it like three different ways because it kind of goes into slow motion to show his spider sense. I wish they kind of would have done more with that.
Well, how did he defeat Electro? Because I need someone that's smarter with science to tell me if
I can't tell you the scientific reason other than they overloaded... Because
they shot him with water.
No. The first time. The first time that they met, he used the fire hose.
Yeah.
And it knocked him down. But then whenever he came back more powerful, he was trying to figure out a way to keep his web shooters from exploding because of the electricity. And so every time you saw that, you saw the battery explode.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, well, we have to overload Electro because he's like a battery.
Right.
So what they did is she rebooted the network or something.
Clearly.
She kick-started the circuit, and so as he was drawing from it,
obviously.
So he
Spider-Man's getting shot with all sorts of electricity business in his chest, and he's like shooting webs at like these open big electrical cables.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
and he's like trying to get him in,
and he ties it in a knot.
Gwen Stacy's ready to throw the switch, and like it's Spider. That's a dumb thing for me. It's Spider-Web. You don't have to tie it together.
Like, you can just squish it.
Yeah.
You squish it and then just be like, okay, go. But he like tied it in a bow knot and then was like, hey, Quinn, do it now. And it like hit and it just bounced back right into Jamie Foxx and blew him up and turned him
into
dust.
And then disintegrated him.
But I'm more talking about the first time they beat him. Because if ever there's electricity, I always thought the last thing you wanted to do was get it wet. Because doesn't electricity travel through water?
Water conducts electricity. I think it was an overload. Like, I don't think he was powerful enough or had enough of the juice in him. That volume of water.
Because let's say you've got Pikachu. I don't want to bring a Vaporeon into this fight, do I?
No. What level is your Vaporeon? Because these levels matter.
Well, my Vaporeon.
If I got a brand new little baby Pichu, level 1, and you got a level 100 Vaporeon, you use Hydro Pump.
And if your Pikachu refuses to evolve with a Thunderstone, you'll never be able to beat Lieutenant Surge's Raichu because it's a Raichu,
and
obviously.
By the way, my level 100 Vaporeon won't listen to me because I don't have the badge.
Well, that's what you get for trading, idiot.
Yeah, shouldn't have traded that.
I didn't want the Bidoof. I had to get rid of the Bidoof.
You would have traded a Bidoof, you sick man.
You were the worst person.
Let's just say I've watched Lindsay many times trade a Bidoof, and then she gets like a shiny Vaporeon.
Oh, Lindsay,
and
no.
I'm like, I feel so bad for the guy on the other end of that trade. Yeah. Oh, what'd I get? Motherfucker. He throws it into a pile of Bidoofs. All of them dead.
Joke's on you. This is a hacked Mon. You're going to get in trouble.
It's a Digimon.
Dude, how funny would that be? You're like, here's my Magikarp scrub, and you get back Agumon, and you're like, what am I going to do with this?
No, you lost me on the reference.
It's good.
You just left it a Digimon.
They're the digital monsters.
They're the digital ones. What are we talking about?
Nothing.
X-Men?
Spider-Man?
Probably.
Spider-Man.
Batman versus Superman.
We're talking about how rich Oscar Isaacs is.
Oh, yeah. He's having a great year.
Best year ever.
The guy that did...
Poe Dameron and Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah. Poe Dameron's making it.
Best part of that movie.
He has a pretty face.
He does. He does well for a...
Let it go.
Spider-Man.
No.
Hey,
now Disney's going to sue us.
But I think we all agree still that the original trilogy better than amazing.
Plus the soundtrack.
I didn't want to mention that, but I feel we need to.
Why wouldn't you want to mention it then?
I think a lot of the electro stuff in Amazing Spider-Man 2 is really cool score-wise. The fact that like it takes that, like you said, those voices in his head, that neuroses, and just starts to like shift it into this like new metal Slipknot band.
I will say too, like they did a thing where like they were the Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3 both did the thing with the likable good guy or the likable villain, and not necessarily likable as much as like conflicted and tragic, because you have Doc Ock who is driven mad by the death of his wife. And then eventually sees the error of his ways. And
Doc Ock is a much better character than Electro was.
Way better character. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then in 3, again, you have Harry kind of redeeming himself at the end.
Right. And you also have what I thought was a great moment that's overlooked is when Peter separates the symbiote from Eddie Brock.
Mm-hmm.
And Brock is so addicted to it that he rushes back to it. Even though he knows he's going to die, he still rushes back to grab it and then dies.
Right.
He chose his own death.
And then, of course, even Flint Marko being, out for his daughter.
And Spider-Man forgiving him
for
killing Uncle Ben because he realizes how shitty of a situation he's in.
Right.
There's so much resolution.
Right.
And then him at the end with Mary Jane, mm-hmm. after all these terrible things have happened, that they still love each other. It's a great... wrap up to the entire film series.
Right.
As opposed to Amazing Spider-Man 2, which you can tell, and to give them credit, they needed that third movie to tie it all together. They desperately needed that third movie
there was way
that
too
they
much,
did not get.
Because they actually identify the mystery man from the end of from Amazing Spider-Man 1.
Didn't even try to.
No, they did. They said Mr. Fires or whatever, he's the gentleman. So he's kind of like this really obscure, like C-level Spider-Man villain.
Mr. Fires?
I had it pulled up.
He can teleport into rooms.
Gustav Fires.
No idea.
Yeah, no, he's the gentleman, and he kind of,
Oh, don't forget, Felicia
Hardy.
Hardy was in the movie too.
Yeah.
Cameoing.
Which I don't think that was actually gonna go anywhere.
Well, like I said, they needed that third movie.
Yeah.
If they would have, this would be an easier.
Well, go
context.
Anywhere in terms of Black Cat. Like, I don't think she was ever going to be Black Cat.
That's a shame. Because I'd love to see Black Cat in the theaters.
And so, but with 2, I feel like they kind of tried to do the same thing with, with Electro, they at least didn't try to make him super tragic.
Yeah.
Or like, you didn't really root for him.
No, because like, he was schizophrenic.
Like, he was crazy, and you feel bad for him, like, he's that happening, and, like, no one liked him, and you had B.J. Novak as Mr. Smythe, which, again, I would have loved to see a bigger, have him be a bigger part.
Wait, I just realized that Smythe as in Spider Slayer Smythe?
Yeah.
How many characters could they cram into
that
movie?
And that was the reason that why I would, I stand by the statement that if they ended up making three, which they really needed to finish the story, it would have been worse than Spider-Man 3. Because they had all of these open plot lines that they would have had to resolve.
Yeah.
And I just don't see them doing it successfully.
And also even more characters were crammed into that movie than there were in the original Spider-Man 3.
By far.
Because like, what were the bad guys in Spider-Man 3? It was Venom, it was
New Goblin, and Sandman.
And Sandman. That's three.
And then in Amazing Spider-Man 2, you had Rhino, Goblin, and Electro. But you also had Smythe.
Which, and to be fair, though, they weren't like... Spider-Man 3 dedicated specific chunks of time to all three.
And
Rhino was in two kind of throwaway scenes. And then you did have Harry Osborn return and his eventual going in evil. And Electro, same thing, like his introduction and his story. Like, that was the main bulk of it.
And isn't that the problem with every superhero movie? Is that as they go on, they try to cram more villains into it?
And I still think,
look at Batman. The original Batman was Batman v. Joker.
Yeah.
And that was great. Jack Nicholson versus Michael Keaton, fantastic.
And now let's put in two villains. Let's have
the second movie, Batman Returns, Penguin and Catwoman.
Yep.
To a lesser extent, Max Shrek.
I'm not a human being.
Yeah.
And that was still good though, because Catwoman was kind of dancing in between good guy, bad guy.
Right.
But then I hated Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman.
Oh, well, JR's done.
You know, technically, Michelle Pfeiffer, this is a true story. I forget the exact explanation, but based on the shape of the face, technically, Michelle Pfeiffer has the perfect face of a woman. Has the most perfect face of any woman in history.
She is it one of those things where they, like, where they attribute...
Her smile is gross.
They attribute specific, like, traits, like, they try to, like, prove mathematically, like, the most
Fibonacci
attractive
sequence and such.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Probably.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. Yeah. I feel like I've made myself perfectly redundant.
Yes, you have.
Anne Hathaway was the best Catwoman. Don't believe anything else.
Who was?
Anne Hathaway.
I mean, I'm not going to say she wasn't, but no, I'm going to say she wasn't. Because Michelle Pfeiffer, the first time she flips into the screen in that black latex, and she just licks her paws and goes, meow, and then things explode.
No, dumb.
As opposed to secret agent nurse maid Anne Hathaway.
It's awesome. Anne Hathaway.
She was a burglar. It's Anne Hathaway. She was a princess.
She was a burglar. She wasn't even...
She was a cat
But she
burglar.
Was working as his maid.
Like...
Undercover.
No, as like, as a burglar. She was posing.
She snuck in.
She was a cat burglar.
She was a child of... child of Babylon, and I didn't like her.
Stop. This is going great.
Are you still here?
Me?
Yes.
Yes.
So let's put it to the audience. We got a couple responses on the post I made about this. Hey, so I want to read them off real quick because there's some great points in here. That's sarcasm.
I was gonna say, like, I haven't read them, so who knows?
Terrence says they're both pretty damn bad.
I'm gonna get on here too.
He's right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much to that, but he's right.
Yeah.
And then Asa, you had a follow up question. What's your favorite version of Spider-Man? Only two people answered that. Chris Edelman, who used to host the Marvelous Jesse and Chris show with Jesse Kimball, said animated series Spidey. Me too. I mean, the 90s animated Spider-Man, that's the best.
I know I'm so wrong in this, but I'm really liking this new Ultimate Spider-Man, the cartoon.
I haven't watched it, so I can't say.
It's such a kid's show, and like I've had people tell me that it's like, yeah, it's fun, but it's too campy. It's too goofy, which that's how I like my Spider-Man.
That's how I like my comics, generally.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
Like, it's lighthearted enough.
Batman 66.
What?
It's awesome.
It's lighthearted enough that it gets away with it. Batman, and again, because it is a kid's show.
And it's Spider-Man. Spider-Man is never, even though he's a tragic character, kind of, because of his Uncle Ben, he's never as dark as Batman.
No.
Or as Superman, the loneliness that Superman feels.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's always been kind of a fun character,
right.
You know? So he should be more fun.
Yeah.
Aaron Picard, the MVP of the Podzilla fans, you know, he said Spider-Man and his amazing friends. Mega Spidey from Toy Fair and animated series Spider-Man. Tobey Maguire was good too. Yeah. Who's the dumbass that said Japanese Spider-Man?
There's a Japanese Spider-Man?
Oh shit, that was Cody. Can we edit that? We can't.
You're the one that edits. You're the one that edits.
Sorry, Cody.
Who's Cody?
Cody Sandusky, host of the sports show here on Podzilla 1985.
Fight him.
I'm sure I could beat him. I'm kind of a big thing around here. Don't let the name fool you. I'm actually quite large.
He likes sports. That makes him stronger.
Well, I mean, so did Jordan. For those who know Jordan. Anyway, you don't know Jordan. That's just me and Allie. Anyway, okay. So Cody said Japanese Spider-Man. Have you ever seen the Japanese Spider-Man?
No.
It's terrible.
Wait, is it that really weird knockoff movie?
The live-action one where he's got like a car and I think he uses a gun maybe.
I think he beats up Superman.
I don't know if it goes that far.
No, there's like a weird.
You're thinking
weird...
of like a hint. It's well, like an Indian weird... movie.
Well, yeah, the Bollywood. Yeah. Bollywood Superman.
Yeah.
Beats up Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then he flies with Lois Lane and they do like little soft dance numbers.
No, look up Japanese.
I love Bollywood movies.
Look up Japanese Spider-Man. You won't be disappointed. I guarantee you.
Wait.
Cody,
no,
I'm disappointed.
I've totally seen Japanese Spider-Man because I remember laughing at the fact that the whites were way more narrow. Because he was Japanese.
Oh, shit.
Did you see it on, Dalton.
Did you see it on Netflix?
No.
Anyway.
But I didn't make the costume. Don't make fun of me for that. That is what they did. They did that.
Hey, so you remember Nate?
No.
Nasty Nate?
Okay.
He put hashtag Team Shannon. I appreciate that, Nate. I can use all the help I can get on this show these days. Everyone's against me. It's all versus one. Asa did not respond to that. All right.
Nope.
He checked out a long time ago.
Yep.
Brett DeVault says, I like all the original three. Amazing Spider-Man sucked.
Concise.
Which Jesse then said, whoever this Brett guy is, his opinion shouldn't matter. And then I had to tell him, you know, that's Brett that works at the store. He goes, oh, then I didn't need to make that statement. Like, no, you didn't.
I love the internet.
The internet's great if you're scared to fight people IRL. Aaron Picard also said, Spider-Man 3 had the curse of the trilogies that should have ended with part 2, like the first three X-Men movies. Agreed. X3 was completely unnecessary. Except for Phoenix. That was literally the only reason to bring it back.
Yeah.
You know? I haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man, but all things being equal, the presence of Bruce Campbell in Spider-Man 3 would make it better by default. Also true. Oh, default, the two sweetest words in the human language, default, default, default. Simpsons reference.
Right.
Which, by the way, Cody posted a message to us saying, watching an episode of The Simpsons, yeah, I need to watch a lot of this show. Well, no shit. Welcome to 1991.
Wait.
That's before you were born.
The
and probably you. Maybe you.
No.
He needs to watch more of The Simpsons or he needs to watch more of
The Simpsons.
DC-85?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The Bruce Campbell, like the long running rumor / fan theory was that he was going to end up being Mysterio in the fourth movie. Like he was playing the same character in every movie. Also, him as the narrator for the tutorial
in
the Spider-Man games.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2, best video game. Best video game Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I mean, Shattered Dimensions, the one that you were talking about earlier with like the four, with like, okay, there was the
Spider-Man through time.
Oh, Spider-Man Noir was awesome, yeah.
Like, that was a good game, but the web swinging in two was
The Amazing Spider-Man, the first game was actually pretty fun too, I thought.
I would love to play like an Arkham City style Spider-Man game.
But none of them will be as good as Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 was just so good.
That's the bar.
The Spider-Man.
Dylan Diebold, our old friend Dylan, who I haven't talked to in a while, said Spider-Man 3 was better in my opinion. Agreed. Straight to the point. You need to watch it again.
I do, but like I said, like two, I didn't really like two. It's just I do from my memory. I think it was a little bit
Asa
more fun.
Asa, you like Fall Out Boy?
Yeah,
there's a lot of Fall Out Boy in Spider-Man 3, if I remember correctly. So you know, there's that. That should put it better anyway.
I think there was. I don't know.
I know Macy Gray was in it.
I totally thought there were like two Fall Out Boy songs in Spider-Man 3.
Not on the soundtrack, because I think the only thing I remember from the soundtrack was, Signal Fire by Snow Patrol.
Hold on.
Was that from 3?
That was from 3, because 2 had Gifts and Curses by Yellow Card, which was the intro song.
Yes, it was.
And one of the best songs. That's part of the reason why 2 is better. I wonder if I'm going to make this last 5 minutes. I'm probably not going to do pro wrestling tomorrow at this point, just to let you know.
Then why did I have to watch Raw?
Because you love it. Last
right,
one.
Asa.
Oh, dang. I'm looking at the Spider-Man 3 soundtrack, and I'm not even looking at the songs, but Snow Patrol, Killers, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Wolf Mother, Flaming Lips, Chubby Checker.
You had me at Chubby Checker. Let me guess. Is it The Twist?
Jet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it's like the every band from that year but Fall Out Boy.
So.
Oh, and Barry Carafa, I always mispronounce that, says the thing that separates a good crappy movie from a crappy movie is its rewatchability. A movie can be bad and still be entertaining. The Andrew Amazing Spider-Man 2 was entertaining for about the first 30 minutes. It was slow, too long, and had too much stuff going on at once towards the end. Plus, the additional need to suspend disbelief that what you were seeing was actually a villain you'd never seen before with a familiar name. He's referring to Goblin.
I would assume.
Yeah. Toby Raimi 3 was definitely over the top, because cartoonish enough to be enjoyable more than once. Sam Raimi doesn't make movies that are considered good. I disagree. But you can bet your arse they'll be entertaining, except for Tobias snapping his emo fingers and acting jazzy. I'm embarrassed every time I see that part. But then there's Venom. That alone breaks any tire, increases the watchability. Venom. I think it's funny he mentions Venom, because that is probably, other than the emo scene and Flint Marko's complete retcon,
yeah.
Venom is the part everyone hates about 3. Even though I liked him. I thought he was good. I thought he was okay.
I really think it's more to do with the Topher Grace casting. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe we should really rewatch 3 again.
Yeah.
I'll bring it tomorrow. Do you work tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right. I'll bring it tomorrow. We'll
watch.
Two jobs,
both jobs.
What?
Two jobs, both jobs.
I didn't think you said both jobs. I thought you said something else.
Nope.
20 bucks is 20
JR,
bucks,
JR, please don't say what I thought he said, because I know you're thinking it too.
What?
JR, thanks for being on the show tonight. We're going to wrap this up. We're about out of time.
We didn't even talk about Batman.
That's fine.
Go back about 3 weeks. You got anything you want to plug while you're here?
Hey, I played a death metal band.
You do? I was hoping you would mention that.
We're called Eurydice. You can find us on Facebook. Message me and ask me how to spell it, because, you know.
I had no idea how to actually pronounce it until just now.
First time I saw it, I pronounced it Eurydice.
Everybody
That's what I always
did.
Said.
And Hunter corrected me. You know, Double H from Real Rock. He told me the actual pronunciation. So,
boy.
Yeah. So spell it out for the fans.
Eurydice.
And they can find you on Facebook.
Yes.
Look up J.R. Davis, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Send the man a message.
My current profile picture as of today.
Or just click on his name.
Is the Prince
insignia. We're probably just going to tag him in it.
That's true. We're going to tag him in it, so you can click on his name. You're going to get tagged, bro.
Neat.
Yes. And Allie, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You're always welcome here, of course. And, of course, my very good friend, life partner, Ace Gray.
Aw.
Guy
love.
Did we resolve anything? Or?
Not even
no.
a little bit.
No. We actually were much less venomous than I thought we were going to be.
Well, it's because I saw it. Like, I finally watched it, and I was just like, oh, that was just a bad movie. It wasn't a terrible movie.
It's weird. It's like we discuss things and bring up actual arguments and discuss them, as opposed to Dalton and Jesse on Nerd Up just bashing without any real thought being involved.
I would like to say, I forgot to say this earlier, the death scene for Gwen Stacy really, really... in my opinion, like, took away from any good that movie could have been. Because, like, at first it was awesome. Like, they dropped her and it was all slow motion and it looked just like the cover of the comic that I remember. And then it goes back to fast motion and then back to slow motion and Spider-Man shoots the web that looks like
a tiny
web
is the hand.
And you're like, oh man, hooray for metaphors. And then it goes back to fast motion and the web catches her and just the most anticlimactic, like,
snap,
splat on the ground. It turned like what should be a really moving moment into something that's almost like slapstick funny.
Now, in the original comic, just real quick before we cut out of here, in the original comic, wasn't it kind of it was up in the air whether or not Spider-Man accidentally killed her or if she was already dead before he hit her with the web?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was. Like, it was pretty clear cut that
he... Because it says snap, but I always heard the argument that it was the snap of the web catching her, and it wasn't the snap of her neck.
Everybody
and that
knows.
She was, and that part of the reason he was so haunted by it was because he didn't know whether or not he killed her by accident or she was already dead.
Well,
I imagine web hitting things to make more of a flip sound, so I imagine snap.
And that's
would
how
be
they've usually spelled it, too.
Well, I think when I say the web snapped, I mean it's like her being caught by it, and then when it. Like,
no, yeah,
you know,
that would be a Jesse. That's a Jesse question, I think, or even a Chris Edelman question.
But the reason I ask,
because my understanding was it was always pretty clear that he knew that
he did it.
Yeah,
it's not like Killing Joke where you don't know what happened at the end.
Well, the reason I ask is in this movie, I forget was it obvious? I forget. Was she dead?
That was no part of it. That was like, it was no, very like, clear that
in
he...
In the book, like...
He failed. Like, he knew that, because she was dangling, like, just above the ground.
Yeah.
But so it was very clear that...
But was she already dead when she fell?
No,
or did he kill
her? It was very clear she was still, like, alive and reaching up, and she even yelled Peter.
Yeah.
Or...
Okay. I couldn't remember.
And the splat I mentioned was her hitting the ground. Like, the web caught her and about 7 or 8 inches above the ground, and then it gave just enough for her to, like, bash her head. And it this like it went from a beautiful moment, like I said, to just this really, really grotesque crunch noise. And it almost made it funny.
So they should have, while she was falling, they should have played that.
Yakety Sax makes everything hilarious.
We should have used that in the intro. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, JR, for being here. Allie, Asa, thank you guys for listening. Tomorrow, Pro Wrestling Unscripted, I might be here or I might just be sitting here. Depends on how my voice goes.
Then we might not have a Pro Wrestling
Unscripted.
That's
not true. You're ready. You're ready, buddy.
Use Microsoft Sans.
I don't.
Yeah. Still a thing. I'll just use sign language.
That'll work.
Great.
That'll work.
Beat on the mic with Morse code.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Jesse and Dalton. Jesse, I like you. Dalton, you suck. See you guys later. Have a good night.